GoodMorningTV.com.
Well, good morning, everyone. We are in kind of week two with the theme we started last week, once more with feeling. And it's an expression that's, it's often used in music or performance arts, like a singer, a musician, an actor, or actress. And it's often said when someone just seems to be going through the motions, right? If a musician in an orchestra is playing through a piece like they're about to die of boredom, or if an actor or actress are doing their role, but they're not giving it enough emotion and enough expression, the director will say something like, well, do it one more time, this time with passion. Do it one more time, this time with feeling. Once more with feeling. And that's what this kind of couple of weeks is really about. Because he wants to see them do it the right way, with the right heart, and put their heart into it, even if they really don't feel like it. Kind of like the video we just saw. Many things in our lives are repetitious and routine. Practical things like going to school, going to work, tucking our kids in at night, telling our spouse that we love them, doing your exercises. Some spiritual things are also routine and can become ritual, like worship or prayer or scripture or giving or serving and so on. All of those things are really easy for us to lose our zeal, to lose our passion for them, and yet they're super important. So we need to stay on track with them, and that's why we're focusing in once more with feeling on things like that. Now, this week we're talking about one of the most, I think it's one of the most difficult aspects of our faith to navigate through, and it's the topic of forgiveness. Forgiveness. There's a few things that should mark us as followers of Jesus: love, compassion, generosity, truth. Those are a couple of them, but forgiveness is definitely one of those things. Forgiveness is choosing not to hold it against someone when they do you wrong. Right? That's kind of the definition of forgiveness. Choosing not to hold it against someone when they do you wrong. And if you think about it, it is the central theme in the gospel message, right? Jesus gave his life so that we could be forgiven and made right with a perfect and holy God. He chose not to hold things against us and offers us forgiveness through Christ. And then we're called to forgive others as God in Christ forgave us, which is, of course, easier said than done. But this morning, we're going to look at three different things that can help us keep on track in regards to forgiveness. And with each one of these things, there's a question for you to consider, because I don't want us to just talk about forgiveness this morning. I want us to engage in that. So the first thing is this. Remember, God offers you forgiveness. Remember, God offers you forgiveness. Listen to Psalm 103. Part of it, verses 8 through 14. It says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust." Now, when we were in our lip sync series, we talked about three aspects that we needed to focus in on: our words, our actions, and our heart, and how we needed those to be in sync with one another, but also all of them being lined up with God's will for us. And yet we fall short in those three areas so many times. We harm others with our words. We use them to tear people down instead of build them up. We act in ways that are contrary to what God calls us to. Right? We don't act like we should. We don't act like a Christian often. And often we, even if we say the right thing and do the right thing, we find that there's a bunch of things stirring in our heart that aren't so pretty. Right? But yet, in all of these things, 1 John 1:9 says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which means no matter who you are, no matter what you've said, what you've done, or where you've been in life, what manner of ugliness is stirring in your heart, when we confess our sins and seek his forgiveness, he forgives us each and every time. But the question, the first question regarding remembering God's offer of forgiveness for us, the question is today, as you consider your own heart, is there something that you need to be forgiven of? We're going to be taking communion in just a moment. But that's a question we want to ask you to consider this morning. Is there something you need to be forgiven of? And I'm just going to give us a quiet minute. And in this moment, would you search your own heart? And would you speak with God about the things that get stirred up there? Areas of your life where you know you need to be forgiven. Whether it's something that's fresh and new, whether it's something that has gone unforgiven for a long time that you haven't taken to God, whether it's just something he puts on your heart this morning. Let's take a quiet moment and just in your heart of hearts, confess this thing or these things to God and ask for his forgiveness. Heavenly Father, we surrender these things in our lives to you, these areas we need your forgiveness. Whether it's because of words we've spoken that we never should have, whether it's because of our actions and ways we've acted contrary to what you want for us, or whether we've done neither of those things, but it's just something ugly stirring in our heart. We confess that to you. We ask for your forgiveness. And we stand on, we cling to your promise in 1 John that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive our sins. And that you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't matter what it is. We offer it to you in this moment. And ask for your forgiveness, trusting that as we come to you in faith, you give it to us. And we are so thankful. It's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. As we continue this morning, it feels really good when we can get something that is unforgiven off our chest, doesn't it? I mean, if you can think of an analogy, I was trying to think of an analogy, it's kind of like we're walking around with a piano on our back, except for that piano is really more like a semi-truck, and that semi-truck is kind of more like a mountain. And then God is this crane that just lifts this burden off of our shoulders, and it's such a relief when we can get rid of that guilt and shame, knowing that, as he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and he will forgive us for what we've done wrong. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's such a relief. It's something we need to keep coming back to time and time again, once more with feeling as it comes to forgiveness. So it's good to be forgiven, but that's the easy part when it comes to forgiveness. Now comes the tough part, because the second thing that we need to be mindful of when it comes to forgiveness is we've got to resolve to forgive as God forgave you. Resolve to forgive as God forgave you. Asking someone's forgiveness or even God's forgiveness is one thing, but forgiving others, not so easy. Not so easy. I know that there is a lot of hurt and woundedness in the hearts of people in this community. And specifically our faith community, whether it's coming from the past, maybe some pain from our childhood, or you know, a friend that left us a long time ago, and we still have that residing in us, maybe even more recently. But most of you are experiencing pain from someone who either let you down, who didn't come through, who went back on a promise, someone who betrayed you. And if not you, then perhaps someone that you know, someone that you love, is feeling that. And you're feeling that pain with them. We can never heal if we don't forgive. So we've got to resolve to forgive as God in Christ forgave us. God expects that of us, in fact, even though that's not easy. We're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture. If you want to turn there, you can. The verses will be up on the screen, but we're going to work through it. Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to work through this for a few minutes, kind of taking some pauses, but it's starting in verse 21, and it's page 823 in the Bibles here if you're looking for that. It says, "Then Peter came up to him," up to Jesus, "and said, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as seven times?'" Now, we're going to stop right there after one verse, because Peter obviously realized that when it came to forgiveness, once was not going to be enough. Right? People are going to mess up more than once. And it was probably pretty customary in that time to think, if I would forgive someone three times for something they've done to me, that's, you know, generally pretty acceptable. But mainly, Peter felt, look, at some point, you got to draw the line. Right? When someone hurts you, when someone wounds you, you can forgive them, and you can forgive them more than once, but at some point, you've got to draw the line. And seven was a number which represented perfection and completeness in that day. So if I forgive someone seven times, have I forgiven them like perfectly and completely? And here's Jesus' answer, verse 22. Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times." I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. He kind of blows that number out of the water, doesn't he? Now, this is actually that 77 times. It's actually one of those phrases that people debate a little bit. The phrasing is a bit ambiguous. It could mean 77 times, like the number 77, or it could mean 70 times 7, like 70 sets of 7 times, which is 490. Either way, that's a lot of times to forgive, isn't it? Now, if you hear that and you're really bothered by the fact that you don't know exactly whether you have to forgive 77 times or 490 times, then you're probably thinking a little bit like Peter. Right? You want to put a number on it. Give me a number. Let me know, Jesus, how many times do I need to forgive someone? And if we do that, we're missing the point. If you know how many times you supposedly have forgiven someone, whether it's 77 times or 490 times, if you know how many times, then you're keeping score. And that's exactly what Jesus was telling him not to do. It doesn't matter how many times it is, you forgive them every time, because that's what God does with us. Okay? So then Jesus tells them a story, starting verse 23. He says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused, and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have mercy on you? We'll pause there for a minute. Now, the obvious parallel is God is the master and we're like that servant, right? We owe such a huge debt to God, one we can never actually repay. When Jesus says 10,000 talents, that's the equivalent of 200,000 years worth of wages, right? That'd be like $7 or $8 billion for us, right? Pay that back. But God forgives us that great unpayable debt. However, when it comes with the expectation that we will forgive others in the same fashion. And their debt for us is like 100 denarii, he says. And that's just a few months' wages. By comparison, small debt, big debt. Now, I want to stop right there, though, and kind of address what we often tend to think or wrestle with in this, and that's this. Sometimes we see people or hear of people or people do to us something that is so awful and terrible compared to anything we feel like we've ever done. Right? So is this passage saying that that some awful things like murder or rape or abuse is somehow equal or even less than the few times I've gossiped or slandered or lied before God? Is that what Jesus is getting at here? Now, I think we need to remember something that's significant about what Jesus is teaching here. The question was, how many times should I forgive? How many times should we forgive someone? And he tells this story as part of his answer to that question. So I think here's how we need to look at it. God forgives us every single thing that we have ever done in our words, our actions, in our heart that doesn't line up with his heart. He forgives us every single thing. And he promises that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us from all unrighteousness, which means he will forgive us for anything in the future as well. And the gap between us and his perfection is so big. It's unreachable. He will forgive us for every single thing we do wrong. He forgives us infinitely. That's the big debt. He expects us to extend forgiveness for the few things that other people do to harm us. I don't think it's a question of the magnitude of that sin. It's a question of the frequency of the sin. That's why their sin is the little debt. It doesn't come close to comparing with the debt that we would owe God. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy to forgive someone, especially when it's something big that they have done to us. It doesn't mean we won't struggle to forgive them. But we won't, if we won't forgive the things others do to us, which is small in comparison to this big debt that we owe God, then Jesus says he'll be furious with us. He'll be furious with us. Jesus said in verse 34, "And in anger his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart." So also my Father will do to every one of you if you don't forgive your brother from your heart. Now, I don't believe God is going to be angry with us just because we failed to forgive somebody, but because, like the servant, we failed to see how precious his mercy and grace was towards us, and clearly, that incredible forgiveness hasn't changed our hearts one bit if we're not willing to forgive others, how they hurt us. So with that in mind, with Jesus teaching here, and I know this is a heavy one, here's the next question. Is there someone you need to forgive? Is there someone you need to forgive? Because when someone wounds us, whether it's the second, the third, the fourth, the 40th, the 400th, the 4,000th time, we're supposed to forgive them. Once more with feeling. just like God has forgiven us and continues to forgive us as well. So I want to take another moment this morning. And just in a very practical way, I want to just ask if you would think of those who maybe you need to extend forgiveness to, that you haven't been willing to, or maybe that's been hard to, or maybe you haven't even thought to. And just in the quietness of your heart, would you pray, Lord, I forgive so-and-so for whatever it is they've done to me. Lord, I forgive them for what they've done for me. So let's take just a quiet moment before we continue. Is there someone right now that you need to take a step and forgive them in your heart? Lord, these individuals that come to mind right now, we want to offer our forgiveness. We want to forgive them in our hearts. We know that's not easy. We ask for you to help us to do that. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Look, when we forgive others, we're like that crane that lifts off this load, only we're lifting it off of somebody else. They are the ones who no longer have to feel that burden on their shoulders. But let's face it, when we forgive, it leads to a sense of peace for us too, right? God gives us that as well. Now that was the tough part. Here comes the really tough part. Part of forgiveness is not holding on to this. So sometimes we have to remind ourselves to let this go. We need to remind yourself to let this go. Look, you've chosen to forgive. By definition, forgiveness is not holding on to something when someone has something against you. You can't forgive if you continue to hold on to something that you're not supposed to hold on to. Right? That's not going to work. Many times we say we forgive people, but then we hold on to the bitterness and the resentment for what they did. Forgiveness, again, letting go, not holding on to something that someone has, that we have against someone. How many times, you know, think about this, if you're still in connection with that person, I think this is something that can be a little bit of a clue for you and for me. See this all the time. But how many times do you hear a phrase when you're in a conversation, aka argument? Well, you always say that. Every time we argue, you bring that up again. You just won't let that go, will you? If you're hearing that a lot, there's some pretty good signs. It's a pretty good sign that you're probably hanging on to some bitterness, because it keeps coming up again and again. Now, it's not always intentional. Sometimes the pain that someone has caused is just really hard to let go of. I'm not trying to minimize that. It's really hard to shake sometimes, but oftentimes we just simply refuse to let it go. We refuse to give them second chances. We refuse to allow them to rebuild the trust. We just keep them locked out forever. So it's like we draw a line in our heart and say, that's it, no more, I'm done. I'm done. But you better be really careful where you draw that line. It's not always clear, and it's not always fair where you put it. You know, for instance, is it okay to decide to draw a line with someone because they gossiped about you, so you're never going to trust them again? Or because they use some harsh tones towards you? Because they use some sarcastic words and that hurt. Is that where you draw the line? Well, what if they lied to you? Do you draw the line there? What if they stole something from you? Is it there? You know, ladies, when your husband or your guy looks at another woman, it's going to hurt for a while, and he should probably be in the doghouse, right? But forever? Is that how that works? We draw the line? Husbands, if your wife criticizes you or nags you, it's going to sting for a while. Does that mean you get to just kind of check out of the marriage then? Is that where you draw the line? You know, what about when it comes to abuse? What about neglect? What about drug use or alcohol use or addiction or porn addiction? What about unfaithfulness? Where do you draw the line? And I bring that up because when you think about the kind of forgiveness that we see in the scriptures, it's pretty amazing. There was forgiveness and restoration between Joseph and his brothers. And Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. Anyone, don't raise your hand, but anyone ever been betrayed that badly? That you were sold into slavery? No. There was forgiveness there. Jesus' accusers had him beaten, they had him whipped, they had him tortured on a cross until he died. And as he was on the cross, he begged that God would forgive them. Anyone ever been physically hurt that bad? Paul, he killed followers of Jesus, and God forgave him. Please don't raise your hand if this happened, but has anyone ever killed anyone here? Right? If there's mercy and grace for Paul, who called himself the chief of all sinners, the worst of all sinners, there should be mercy and grace for everyone. Now, I don't know exactly where you may be drawing the line in your heart, but I will say this, based on the examples that we see in Scripture, there isn't supposed to be a line. There's not. And so you better be trying really hard to let it go. Because that's the kind of forgiveness that God extended to us and then expects us to extend to others. Now, I know even saying that, I'm going, oh, that is really hard. That is nearly impossible. The disciples, the apostles, they kind of thought the same thing. Last passage we're going to look at real quick in Luke chapter 17. It says this, Jesus talking to his disciples, they're called the apostles here, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day, and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Must forgive him. That's pretty strong. Each and every time. And then then it says this, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Right? That's really hard. I don't think we can do that, Lord. You need to increase our faith. You're asking us to do what seems impossible. And the Lord said this, if you had faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, people often use that passage for a lot of different reasons, to talk about our faith, to talk about how we have to have faith to accomplish things, so on and so forth. But again, the context here is super important. What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about forgiveness. He's talking about forgiveness. He specifically picks this type of tree to represent forgiveness. Now, here's a little bit. It's translated here mulberry tree, but it's sycamore, which is a mulberry fig tree in the actual original language. But here's a picture, right, of what this tree generally looks like. And here's a little bit about it. The sycamore tree is very resilient. It grows quickly, especially in dry conditions. Because of its enormous root system, which goes deeply into the ground and spreads out in like every direction. In fact, when you chop off the top of a sycamore tree, it can often just grow back because the roots are so extensive. and they're intact. They're hard to dig up, and very few trees are as sturdy as they are in the ground. Okay. Now, think about that in terms of unforgiveness. It's very resilient. It grows quickly, especially in spiritually dry conditions. It gets firmly entrenched in your heart, and it's awfully hard to dig up. And yet Jesus says, faith the size of a mustard seed can take care of that. Oh yeah, by the way, the fruit of a sycamore tree is actually pretty bitter. Not too ironic there, is it? Right? Just like the fruit that comes from unforgiveness is bitter, or could you say bitterness? But Jesus says, just a tiny bit of faith, and it's possible for this tree to be uprooted and thrown into the sea. Same thing with unforgiveness. It doesn't take that much, he's saying. Faith the size of a mustard seed will get it done. If you have even a little bit of faith, you can forgive most, even the most difficult things or the most difficult people if you want to. If you want to. And if uprooting this tree is what's possible with just a little faith, imagine what can be forgiven when you really try. Right. So, last question for today. In regards to someone that you have forgiven, is there bitterness you need to let go of? Is there bitterness you need to let go of that you've been holding on to, right? Perhaps some kind of bitterness that has worked its roots deep into your heart and now it's really hard to dig up. I want to take a moment and just recognize that if there's something in you, and then I'm going to close this in prayer. We have one more song of worship if the team wants to come up as well. Father God, we know how badly we need your forgiveness, and we're grateful that you have given it to us. We also know we need to forgive others. And although that's hard, Lord, we've surrendered that to you. But we also need to ask you to remove the bitterness that can often be stuck in our hearts. Yes, we've forgiven, but the bitterness, the pain, that's still there. And whether we've let it be there intentionally, we've hung on to it, we've clung to it, or whether it's just crept its way in and we don't know what to do about it, Jesus, you said anything is possible here. Just faith the size of a mustard seed can uproot that tree. It can also uproot that unforgiveness and that bitterness that's within us. We know we can't do that on our own, but by faith, we trust that you can. And so we want to ask for these things, these aspects of bitterness that we may be dealing with in our hearts right now, and ask for you to uproot them and throw them into the sea. We simply say, Lord, we don't want to be trapped by that anymore. We don't want to be held hostage by our bitterness. We don't want to hang on to that pain. And maybe even some of us were thinking, well, we sort of don't want to. But God, help us to just allow you to rid that from our heart. Rid that from our lives. Help us not to hold on to what you intend for us to let go of. And pull this bitterness out of our heart. Uproot it, God, we pray. In the name of Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.